I'd like now to welcome Steve Northup, photographer, and Richard McCord, writer. They are participants in this new book. It's the new edition, Volume 2, of Santa Fe Living Treasures, Our Elders, Our Hearts, 1994 to 2008. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is a book that is made about, what, every 10 years to honor the Living Treasures of Santa Fe, which is a program that was originated here in Santa Fe.
That's right.
This is approximately the 25th anniversary of the founding of the Living Treasures program, which Mary Lou Cook brought into being.
Yep. And every city in America ought to be doing this.
And many cities are.
Well, not enough. Mary Lou started something that was truly brilliant. And in this country, we don't take very good care of our old people. You hit 70, we put you on an air-conditioned shelf and forget about you. And we're giving away all that knowledge, all that experience, and we're just kicking them out the pasture. And Mary Lou decided we ought to honor these people rather than just shun them.
So it's people over 70 who are eligible to be Living Treasures, and they're people who've contributed in ways that might not be so publicly visible. They're nominated by members of the community. They're chosen by a committee on which both of you take part or have taken part, and you write about them and photograph them.
That's correct.
So how does it affect the community to have these people honored?
Oh, I think it affects the community in a very positive way because they all have multitudes of friends and they have family, and as you said, they often do things that are unusual and not necessarily recognized. All these people aren't, you know, retired politicians or millionaires who've given millions of dollars. They're people who've done amazing things. Twice a year we have a ceremony where all of their friends and family and anyone who knows them can come to it and pay them a public tribute and then stand up and speak into a microphone briefly to thank them and to tell their appreciation. So I think it's just a great tribute to these people while they're still here and vital and alive and can appreciate it.
As Steve Northup has said, it's a way to, how did you put it?
Well, it's like going to your funeral without the inconvenience of death, the indignity of death. You get all your friends around you, and they say wonderful things. In 25 years, nobody's ever marched up to the microphone and said, that bum owes me $10. It's always good.
It's interesting. There are quite a number of couples honored in this book, and I like the fact that the way you write about them and the way they're photographed, there's not this sense of one of them being dominant or the man doing the thing and the woman's the power behind the throne. Instead, there's a real sense of equality and teamwork.
Well, you have to understand that the majority of the treasures are chosen individually, and the majority, I must say, are probably married. So when we choose a couple, it's because the couple has contributed enormously as a team instead of just one person being dominant and the other person being a helper. So the couples are chosen very carefully, and they both have a role in this.
And there are occasional gay couples, I'm happy to
yes.
see.
Oh, sure. This is Santa Fe.
Good point. And the other thing that I found fascinating about it is that there are people who have done a number of different things. There's a sense of people finding multiple avenues for service over the course of their lifetimes and being recognized for that instead of like maybe one great specialty that somebody became world class at.
Well, and some of them are fairly unrecognized. One of my favorite was a man named Ross Martinez from up in Española. And he retired from the state government and spent the rest of his life translating difficult papers for all of his neighbors from English into Spanish so they could understand what was happening to them in the legal and financial system. And he did this out of his own pocket, out of his own time, out of a little room in his house, and he did it for years. And he was unheralded, but when time came, his friends got together and made him a treasure.
And he was heralded.
Yeah.
Amazing. The people in the Living Treasures book and in the Living Treasures program are, when you take them together, kind of a reflection of place. So the book becomes a reflection of this area, this part of New Mexico.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
As you may have seen in my writer's note in the book, I treasure that aspect of Santa Fe, a treasure, that's a, to coin a phrase, but the, you know, I can't imagine any other place that has such a rich collection of truly exceptional people. And, you know, there are nice towns in Texas and Iowa and Georgia and everywhere else, but these people are world class, and they're truly outstanding, and they've gathered here in this little small city. So of course they reflect the place, and I'm glad to live here myself.
It's an interesting combination, too, of this sense of an incredibly rich cultural landscape, multicultural landscape, and this wild place and this very harsh desert environment and the way those things come together and the way people contribute.
Well,
yep.
So it's interesting for the two of you doing this, because you, as committee members, you take part in choosing these people, but then you really have to get even more of a sense of them through writing about them and photographing them. What's the process like?
Well, it's an effective process. One of the things I appreciate about the program is that whoever is chosen as a treasure is chosen by a vote of the committee. In other words, it's not like somebody comes in and says, well, vote for my friend and let's make him a treasure. We get letters of recommendation. We have scrapbooks of newspaper clippings. We have records of what they've accomplished. And then everyone is discussed and considered. And then there's a group vote. In fact, it's done on pieces of blank paper, so it's like a secret vote, a ballot. And everyone who is chosen is chosen by the committee of 8 or 9 people. And then after they're chosen, that's when Steve and I get the most involved, because Steve knows who needs to be photographed and I know who needs to be written about. And then, you know, I read all the letters of recommendation. I read all the clippings. Part of the process is that they're given an extensive interview by a professional interviewer. And so I listen to the interviews. And by the time I need to write a fairly brief profile, I know a great deal about them. And they're always so impressive.
That's interesting. So you're not the so-called professional interviewer?
No, I'm not.
And photographing them is also an interesting thing that you have to add to this, because you really, on some level, want to take pictures of them in the place that's most characteristic of how they've lived their lives.
That's true. And the pictures are made with a camera that I designed and built. It's a 4x5 sheet film camera that works on a tripod and works very slowly, so it gives me a chance to spend time with them. And a lot of times I'll go and sit and drink coffee and we'll chat for an hour or two before we even think about pictures. And that'll give me time to look around the house, or look around our yard, figure out somewhere that's them, and where the light is beautiful. So that gives us time. But that hour is treasured time. I mean, I learn what they look like and what mannerisms make them, how they like to sit, how they like to smile, who they are, who they're going to be on film. And then when we sit down and make the pictures, it's easier on both of us.
Now, 4x5 negatives, those are very big negatives.
That's
for
big.
Those who don't know anything about photography.
Yeah, it's a 4x5-inch sheet of film.
And so they make incredibly detailed pictures, which are on display themselves.
Yeah, down at the First National Bank on Palos Avenue, in the old Delgado house, there's 10 prints on the wall.
Why do you choose black and white?
You see more in a black and white image than you do in color.
Is that right?
Yeah, you can bullshit in color. you know, bright, strong colors on. Did I say a bad word? but you really can. But with black and white, you're going to have the goods. And the picture has to be there. The composition has to be solid. And the light has to be good. Looking at a black and white photograph, you see more. We don't understand how the human eye sees color yet. We really don't know that process. Edmund Land, who brought you the Polaroid camera, has a theory of color vision called the Retinex theory of color vision. And it takes him about 8 hours to present the thing. It took him. He's gone now. But black and white is primal.
And also, when the time comes to produce a book, it's cheaper to print black and white photos than it is to print color photos.
And, of course, that plays a role. There's a very sweet little piece of the book toward the beginning where it talks about the medallions that are presented bronze medallions to the recipients of the Living Treasures Award, and Mary Lou Cook, at the beginning, was making little medallions out of paper
That's
with her
right.
beautiful calligraphy.
Yeah.
And those are really treasured.
Yeah.
If you got one of those, you're
that's
an original treasure.
An heirloom.
Yeah, have that gilded.
Or bronzed.
Bronze would be better. No, gold.
So at this event, some of the Living Treasures actually show up to sign books. It's at 2 o'clock on Sunday, August 16th, at the Palace of the Governor's Courtyard, 2 to 4 in the afternoon, a signing of the book Santa Fe Living Treasures. And it's not only perhaps you guys and other people who are on the Living Treasures Committee, but the folks themselves.
The really important people will be there, the treasures themselves, as many as can make it. And they'll be at card tables around the courtyard. And we're inviting folks to come and buy a book and go from treasure to treasure to treasure and get it signed and get to know these people a little bit.
It does strike me that the way that these people are being honored and the kind of work they've done is the exact opposite of the celebrity culture that we have.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, we're anti-celebrity.
And these are quiet people and modest. And almost every time when they're called up and said, you've been chosen as a living treasure, and the standard response is, well, why me? I haven't done anything to deserve that. There are other people who deserve it much more than I do.
One thinks about, while reading it, the idea of quality of life. The example that you gave of the man who helped other people fill out their paperwork.
Right.
And all the little gestures that actually make someone's life go along smoothly, if that person hadn't been there, how would other people's lives have gone poorly?
All of these people enriched our lives, and they enriched our community with their good deeds, with their artwork, with their music, with their paintings, with their lives. And they made us all richer for it.
And it's not only what they do, it's really the way they did it. I was thinking of that when reading about the folks who renovated the La Fonda Hotel. Anybody can throw a hotel up on a piece of bare land and charge admission? Or
that would be Sam and Ethel Ballin.
Yep.
Right.
Whom we miss.
Yep. Yeah, but to do it in the way that they did it and taking a historical building and making it once again into something really grand and beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And they not only renovated it, but when they bought it shortly after moving here, it was designated for the wrecking ball. It was going to be knocked down, and they saved it. Not only renovated, but they saved
the thing.
May I ask you both about your own lives for a moment?
Well, I'd like to inject this for the sake of this interview. Steve actually grew up here. So a lot of these people, like Ross Martinez, you literally knew.
A lot of these were friends.
Bill and Mary Huey.
Yeah, Bill was my first Boy Scout leader. So it was visiting friends from childhood. And when I grew up here, Santa Fe has changed in lots of ways, but one of the ways we've changed for the worst is we don't have as many characters in this town. In the 40s and 50s, we had great characters in this town. We had outrageous people. We had old B.B. Dunn, who was a very dapper southern gentleman that always wore a white ice cream suit, and he drove a little motor scooter around town. And they were wonderful people, and this town was alive with characters. Now we've got real estate agents.
Right.
We still have some excellent people, though. You know.
Well, we do, but a lot of the spark is.
Well, there is this phenomenon. I've noticed this in the time that I've lived here, and which is a lot less than the time you've lived here since you were born and raised here. But when rent becomes expensive and housing becomes expensive, characters go elsewhere.
Oh,
people
yeah.
who are
well, they
passing
can't afford
through.
It.
Yeah. Exactly.
They
yeah.
can. They cannot. Even locals. You know, we have priced a lot of locals out of this community. Our school teachers, our plumbers, a lot of folks just simply can't afford to live here anymore.
And in my case, I didn't grow up here like Steve did, but I have lived in Santa Fe for more than 30 years now. And so in writing the text for this book, a lot of these people preceded me, and I didn't know them, even though Steve knew a lot of those. But in recent years, you know, a whole lot of the people in here are people I do know and know pretty well. So I found myself writing about people I know, admire, and respect. And that made it even better for me because I can read the historical record of some of these legends. But for me to be writing about people that I know well was just a great treat for me.
Do you find a lot of young people reading this and getting involved with the Living Treasures program at all?
I don't think so, do you?
I don't think so.
It would be, ladies and gentlemen, put this book in the schools.
It's an aging, well, it's in the library, and anyone who wants to, and, you know, their families, the Treasures families, can look up this, and it's on the record, and it can be go into the family archive. But I don't, the crowd that shows up for our ceremonies is an aging crowd.
In fact, one of the most endearing aspects of the whole gatherings is nobody claps, because most people have hearing aids, and clapping makes you go nuts. So instead of clapping, people put their hands in the air and wiggle them. And so somebody will make a wonderful statement, and 200 hands will shoot in the air and wiggle. And it's it's quite a lovely thing to see.
We got to go to this thing.
Oh, yeah. You better come.
You should really see this. You
could be a young person. Yeah. Yes. You can be the youth movement.
That's right.
This is something that happens. The book only comes out about every 10 years or so. I think there's 76 living treasures in this book. A little bit more than, well, it's more than 10 years worth of, it's about 14 years worth
about
of.
About 14 years worth.
But the actual awarding of living treasures happens twice a year. Three people or three couples twice a year. And those are ceremonies that anybody can attend.
Oh, sure. And they'll be in the paper and advertised. And we really invite the community to come out, because they're seeing their old friends.
I would like to just ask you a little bit more. You, Steve, have had a terrific and amazing career as a photographer, starting in Santa Fe, but going all over the world.
Yep. I, as a child, worked for the New Mexican.
like a junior high school.
Yeah. And then later I went to work for a wire service. I was a staff photographer for United Press International in the San Francisco, Miami, and Saigon bureaus, and I spent 2 years covering Vietnam. And then I spent 5 years with the Washington Post, and then went to Time Life for 20 years. And I've happily retired and making pictures for me now.
What are you doing now after having done photojournalism all those years?
Well, I'm still doing that. I'm working and putting the final touches on a book on the festivals of Laos that will be out sometime in October, written by my old Vietnam correspondent, Dr. Martin Stewart Fox. And Martin is one of the foremost scholars on Southeast Asia politics, culture, what have you. And we've spent a lot of time in Laos and putting together this book on the festivals. And it's beautiful and colorful. And
very interesting.
It's going to be lovely.
And, of course, Laos's role in the Vietnam era is something that a lot of people don't know about.
We dropped more bombs on Laos than we dropped in all of Europe in World War II. And we killed a lot of them. And they're still losing arms and legs due to landmines over there. There's a wonderful organization called COPE. And for $50, they'll put a leg on a man. And they built a good leg, and they're always busy, unfortunately. But we really did. We did some terrible things in that country.
Richard, you have had a long career also as a writer and journalist yourself.
Well, the main thing that I've done here in Santa Fe I started the Santa Fe Reporter in 1974, and then ran it for 15 years. Before that, I was a daily journalist for a big newspaper in New York, and then came out here and liked Santa Fe a whole lot better than the big time. But we did sell it after 15 years, and since then, I tell people, they ask me, what are you doing now? And I say, well, I'm either a freelance writer or an unemployed man. And that pretty well covers it.
Pretty much covers it.
Steve Northup is a photographer, Richard McCord, writer, participants in the new book, Santa Fe Living Treasures, Our Elders, Our Hearts, Volume 2, 1994 to 2008. And the book signing event will be from 2 to 4 at the Palace of the Governor's Courtyard on Sunday, August 16th. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. You can also find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz.